Hello, AWTR Mill Spouses. This is Brooklyn Morgan, Army Wives Network's Special Projects Coordinator. Each week, our mission is to empower military spouses, veterans, and family members across the globe, and we are inviting you to support us in that mission. After you listen to this week's episode, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. You can then send us a screenshot of the review at info@armywifenetwork.com, or feel free to send us that screenshot in a DM to us on Facebook or Instagram with our handle @armywifenetwork to receive a special in real life gift as a thank you on behalf of Army Wife Network. We appreciate your engagement and support. And now, it is time for this week's new episode.
Attention, Mill Spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network Command Team.
Hello, listeners. I'm Chrissy Gibbs, Army Wife Network's content curator, coming at you from Kansas. And I'm hosting today with Sarah Robichaud, Army Wife Network's communications liaison. This is episode number 852 of Army Wife Talk Radio, which just shows that we have a wealth of resources in our archives. You can search for literally any military topic and you're bound to find something. Sarah and I can't wait to share today's information with you.
Thanks, Chrissy. Hey, everyone. We really do have a lot of great information just in this episode alone. We're going to start out by sharing some of our weekly resources to help you in your Mill Spouse life. Then shortly after that, we'll hear from Army Wife Network owner and commander, Sherita Knobloch, as she chats with military spouse, Megan Brown, author of Summoned, Answering the Call to the Impossible.
That's right. Looking forward to hearing that interview. But first, let's catch up. Sarah, the seasons are changing, and I'm curious, what's your favorite thing about fall?
I love fall. As basic as that sounds, I absolutely love fall. It is my all-time favorite. And I guess right now my current kick is soup, because it is soup season,
yes.
Right?
You know, my gosh.
I love a good bowl of soup in the fall. And it's usually something that my kids will actually eat too, even if there are vegetables in them, God forbid. But they will actually eat it if it's in soup form.
You sneak those in.
I do. Yeah. And you know, the weather has just been beautiful. I don't know how Kansas has been, but Southern Virginia has been hot and humid until like a week ago, and it finally broke. And now we can actually enjoy our times outside instead of just sweating and being miserable.
Oh, I totally feel you there. But we had like fall last week, and then surprise, yesterday it was back to summer.
Oh, no. So
it's definitely hot out there. I don't mind it. I am a summer girl, but I kind of enjoy that in between as well. Like I like having sweatshirts at night by a bonfire, you know, those things are my favorite. But in fall, my most favorite thing is all the activities, because we go to pumpkin festivals, harvest festivals. And yeah, it's just, there's always so much more going on. In the summer, I feel like I'm scrounging for things. I have to like I make a bucket list to force myself to go do stuff. But in the fall, it's just every weekend, there's something to do. I love that.
Yes, me too. I definitely love, all of those fall things. And listeners, you can find even more fun fall things on our Instagram page that we will be highlighting all month long. So you can find us on Instagram at Army Wife Network, or search for the hashtags Fall In with AWN or AWN Behind the Scenes. Another amazing resource that can be found on Army Wife Network is our talented band of bloggers. They're always bringing fresh, empowering content. This week's blog comes from Anna Larson. In her post titled, Hello, My Name Is, she writes, I carry a bag of titles around with me. Why? So that I'm prepared to be what I need to be in that moment when I say, hello, my name is. I know I'm not alone. Pretty much everyone in the world carries around something similar. Yours might include the words parent, teacher, artist, director, chef, or triathlete. I know I'm not alone. Pretty much everyone in the world carries around something similar. Yours might include the words parent, teacher, artist, director, chef, or triathlete. It's not just about what we do, but also who we are. I am blank. Insert your titles. Are you kind, aggressive, loving, generous, bold, impatient? The titles we carry are self-identifying labels we wear to share what's important to us, describe life's experiences, and demonstrate the characteristics of our personalities. Wow. Anna continues through her blog with examples of how we each have acquired these titles and how we can change and choose which ones we want to use. Such an empowering blog, really making us question who we are.
Oh my gosh. I loved this blog so much. Anna always has spot on topics, but this one was just, I don't know if it's this season of my life, but it was just hitting me hard. Like I feel seen right there. I definitely took a backseat. Like my label became mom the minute I became a mom. And then I don't know like where Chrissy went. And so I definitely had to, once my kids were old enough and I felt like they could survive on their own, they weren't as, you know, needy. I was able to kind of like start to find myself again. And that, and part of that was coming to Army Wife Network that kind of gave me that purpose and gave me a reason to, you know, to get going every morning and do stuff. So what about you?
I feel, you know, I am feeling your words. You know, we definitely lose ourselves in motherhood and it kind of takes over for a while. And then, you know, my kids are slowly getting older and I feel like I'm regaining little bits of myself as they go. Well, but I really enjoyed her blog. I really enjoyed what she had to say, you know, about all the different labels that, and the different hats that we wear as moms and as mill spouses. And I feel like she really, you know, hit the nail on the head with this one.
She totally did. These blogs, they always keep me on my toes. Here at Army Wife Network, we have so many resources to share. Beyond our blog, we also have empowering things taking place in real life with our Empowerment Patrol report. After we share that, we have a health minute from the Army Surgeon General, and our last weekly resource, my personal favorite, will be a check-in with Army Wife Network News 6 correspondent Jolene McNutt as she shares this week's top stories. All right, let's get to these resources. Here's Amanda Bicknies, our empowerment agent, with this week's Empowerment Patrol report.
Hello, Army Wife Talk Radio listeners. I'm Amanda Bicknies, bringing you this week's Empowerment Patrol report. Today, we are showcasing Army Wife Network's Everyday Empowerment recipient, Rebecca Baker, nominated by our very own Chrissy Gibbs, who states that Rebecca came to my unit at Fort Bliss while we were preparing for a deployment. Even though she had a newborn and two toddlers at home, she focused time and energy on getting to know the spouses in our unit. She created a functional support team for our battalion and hosted events at her home to create fellowship in a time when we were not feeling connected. She was able to be a pillar of strength and knowledge for us, and she continues to show us how to lead with integrity and grace. Rebecca is a very genuine and supportive friend of all military spouses. She currently is an instructor with a Stroller Strong fitness group, which allows her to help empower women through each phase of pregnancy and beyond. She is always super heartfelt, authentic, and you can tell she genuinely wants to help everyone. On behalf of Army Wife Network, thank you so much to Rebecca Baker for doing your part to empower military families all across the globe. Until next time, I'm Amanda Bicknies, reminding you that we are never completely alone on this military life journey.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Abdullah, and on behalf of your Army Surgeon General, this is your Army Medicine, Be As Healthy As You Can Be, Health Minute. October is National Dental Hygiene Month. According to experts at the Army Public Health Center, many soldiers are at high risk of developing tooth decay. The Army provides dental services to its soldiers with an eye on preventing oral disease, promoting oral health, and maintaining readiness. However, some soldiers may delay dental care until they feel treatment is needed. Remember that when a cavity is just beginning, you may not have any symptoms. As the decay gets worse, symptoms might develop, including sensitivity to hot or cold, a sharp and or dull toothache, and visible holes or dark staining in the tooth. If cavities are not treated, they get larger and continue to affect the deeper layers of the teeth.
Cavities can lead to a severe toothache, infection, and tooth loss. Regular dental visits, good brushing and flossing habits, and a healthy diet are the best protection against cavities. Army medicine is Army strong.
No news is typically good news in this military life,
except on Army Wife Talk Radio.
So here is our AWN News 6 correspondent with this week's top stories.
Hi, Chrissy and Sarah. Here are this week's top stories. Finding federal jobs as a military spouse has gotten a little bit easier. The U.S. Office of Personnel Management announced a newly expanded and congressionally mandated military spouse non-competitive appointment authority. In short, this means that there will be new ways for military spouses to apply to work as a part of the federal workforce. The jobs will be non-competitive appointments that remove limitations such as relocation requirements, geographic restrictions, and arbitrary quotas. These positions will likely utilize remote work opportunities for military spouses to take their careers with them. Start your job search at usajobs.gov. The U.S. Space Force has announced its new uniforms, and it's getting a big reaction. The new service dress uniform has a dark blue jacket with a high collar and 6 silver buttons that angle from the right shoulder toward the mid-abdomen. NPR said, "To many, the uniforms resemble those worn by officers in the sci-fi TV series Battlestar Galactica from the 2000s. Additionally, the Space Force logo has been compared to the Starfleet emblem from the TV and movie series Star Trek. Check out the images of the new uniform at npr.org. VetTix recently hit a milestone when it distributed its 10 millionth ticket. VetTix provides free tickets to events such as sporting events, concerts, performing arts, and family events to veterans of all eras, currently serving military members, including the Guard and Reserves, and immediate family of those service members killed in the line of duty. By achieving this major milestone of distributing over 10 million tickets to our VetTixers, we are able to give back by creating memories that will last a lifetime," said Michael Faccarato III, Navy veteran and founder of and CEO of VetTix. VetTix has a sister organization called FirstTix, which offers free tickets to current and retired first responders, which includes police, firefighters, EMT personnel, and 911 dispatchers. Learn more at VetTix, that's VetTix.org. And this week in history, on September 25th, 1890, Sequoia National Park was established as our country's second national park. Fast forward to October 2nd, 1968, when Redwood National Park was also established. These two trees are related, but grow in different climates and elevations. Giant redwoods and sequoias grow well over 300 feet tall and can live 2,000 to 3,000 years. They also share a very similar root system. One might think that growing so tall and living so long, the tree roots would go way deep into the earth. What's amazing about these giant trees is that they have a very shallow root system, only 8 to 15 feet deep. Where they get their strength to stand for thousands of years is through an intricate root system that spreads out over 100 feet from each tree and intertwines with the roots of other redwoods or sequoias. In effect, they hold each other up. Okay, so this fact is one of my favorites that I learned way back from an Army Wife Talk Radio episode, number 764, if you're looking for it, when Corey Yates from Planting Roots was our guest. Corey shared that these giant trees have to depend on other like trees to hold each other up. Other trees, the smaller ones, are just not big enough to hold them. It looks a lot like our military community. We need each other to hold us up and to thrive as a community. When you have enough of these giant trees holding each other up, they create their own ecosystem and even can create their own rain. That's amazing to me. I think it looks so much like our military culture. When we send our roots out instead of down and they intertwine with others like us, eventually we can create our own ecosystem to help us thrive because we're in this together and we get each other. Okay, so if this hit you in the heart like it did to me, a second time around, I'd encourage you to sign up for Planting Roots in-person conference. It's called Strength to Thrive. It's on October 23rd in Colorado Springs. And I promise you, this is not an advertisement. I was simply looking for a fun historical fact to share. And when I saw that Redwood Forest was established in early October, it kind of pinged an old memory in my mind and brought that episode out. And in fact, some of us from the Army Wife Network team will be there to meet you in real life at Planting Roots Conference, where you can join with other military women for connection, encouragement, teaching, worship, and fun. You can sign up now at plantingroots.net. Find the link to all of our new 6 reports at armywifenetwork.com. This is your Army Wife Network New 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, signing out.
Thank you so much, Jolene, for diligently working to get us the news that we need to know. Listeners, it's time for the main event. Stay tuned for Sherita's interview with Megan Brown, author of Summoned, Answering the Call to the Impossible.
Need more information to engage, educate, encourage, and empower you in your military life journey? At ArmyWifeNetwork.com, you can find more than 2,000 blog posts about deployment, ECS, Army life, health, and more. You can also check out our most popular resource, Post with the Most. Aaron from Fort Riley says, I use AWN on a weekly basis to get the support my family and I need to thrive in this military life. Tap into all of our empowering resources at www.armywifenetwork.com.
Hello, listeners. This is Sherita Knobloch, your Army Wife Network owner and commander. And for this episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, we're chatting it up with Megan B. Brown about her new book, Summoned, Answering a Call to the Impossible. Megan is a seasoned military spouse and military missionary. She's the military liaison for the Speak Up Conference Global Missions Military Scholarship and the 2019 Armed Forces Insurance Robins Air Force Base Military Spouse of the Year. She's passionate about military mission work and teaching and preaching about Jesus in and out of the local church. Today, we'll be chatting about her newly released book, an 8-week interactive study. In a time when the world around her seemed to crumble, a young Hebrew girl found herself in a unique position to save her people and to encounter the greatness of our ever-faithful God. In Summoned, you'll enter the story of Esther, her calling, pain, and role in God's ultimate plan for salvation, and see how God is always working in the lives of his people, even when he seems distant. Megan, welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio. So excited to chat with you today.
Oh my goodness, I am so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, this subject is right up my alley. It's totally my jam. And so I feel like we could sit and talk about military spouses, studies, and faith for hours. But this is your time, so I would love to talk more about you. You consider yourself a military missionary currently serving with Crew Military. So what are some of the lessons you've learned in the military mission field?
Oh, wow. You know, one of the biggest things that I've learned is that there is a distinct gap between the local church and our military community. Mm-hmm. With all the challenges that we face in high operations tempo or moving every few years, and really the mental and emotional real estate that's taken up in our minds, it's really difficult to build relationships with the local church. And what I'm finding is that the local church really doesn't know what to do with us. And mm-hmm. so I find that there are many military community members that need missionary space to go proclaim the gospel, create space for community, and carry the burden of building the relationship with the local church for them. And essentially, that's what I do. So every time we move, we open up a small in-home Bible study that is mm-hmm. connected to a local church. We provide the donuts and the coffee because that's kind of the key to the success, right? Mm-hmm. Is here in Mississippi, it's Tato Nut. Shout out to Tato Nut Ocean Springs. But we host in our homes and we create that space where military spouses can not only have access to the gospel, but to connect with each other and the Lord. And then through those pathways, we're able to kind of rebuild a connection between the local church and our community.
I totally feel you on that. A lot of the research I've also been doing is really seeing that disconnect between communities of faith, kind of perhaps civilian, those stationary ones with the military. You know, a very low percentage of churches do have a military ministry. And what you just mentioned, Megan, they're not really sure what to do with us because we're very unique demographic. And so it's really great that you're pushing into that and feeding the masses with donuts and all that good stuff in your home, because I totally feel you on that too. Got to feed the people and they will come. So in addition to providing donuts and coffee, what are some of the ways you reach out to other military spouses?
Really, we have a kind of singular focus, and that is community. There's a scripture in Acts 2:42 through 47 that just sort of is etched into the forefront of my mind. But really, it was talking about the community the early church had. Everyone was together. They were praying and worshiping and studying the word, and they were devoted to meeting together. And they just built this really beautiful community where no one had need. They were caring for each other emotionally, spiritually, physically. They were taking care of tangible needs. And so what we do is we kind of cast this vision into our community that there is a biblical way to live, and that being for one another is a biblical and good thing. And when we model that, you know, our children also get the benefit of that community, having this kind of pseudo family that they get to experience the military community through. And I think that really, because we focus so much on community, much of our outreach is community centered, that is gospel centric, and really revolves around the worship and study of God. And so our events are connection driven. We really focus a lot of our effort to home Bible studies. I really feel like that is one of the reasons we're seeing revival in our military community, is because so many women have obediently stepped, kind of terrifyingly stepped into this role as Bible teacher, lead learner, and just to serve God in that way by turning their home into missional headquarters. You know, really our story started back in 2015. We had just moved in 2014 to the Mississippi Gulf Coast. We opened up our home for a Bible study, which I did not anticipate would do anything phenomenal, right? I wasn't even what I would consider now to be a very qualified teacher. And so it was me, my weird neighbor, a rocket scientist, a brand new 18-year-old military spouse, a young mom in her 20s with young toddlers, and a commander's spouse. It was the strangest group of military spouses together in one room. And we weren't using a book. We were just simply reading through the Gospel of Luke. And then the next week, there were 17. The week after that, there were 25 women dragging lawn chairs down our military installation street to get into my house. And I just thought, Lord, you are in fierce pursuit of these women. And so that was 7 years ago. And now there are hundreds of groups that have multiplied out from the weird original six. we've got girls meeting in London, in Italy. We have women that are meeting around their tables in Japan, all in the lower 48 states. And so it's just really amazing to see what God is doing in our community today.
I personally relate to that just because what you mentioned a few moments ago about like how those people can become your family, you know, because we don't, as military families, it goes, or spouses, it goes without saying that our families of origin very rarely are within driving distance or somewhere that can like pinch hit during deployments and TDYs and hey, life in general. So it's been every duty station that we've been at, it's been our community of faith that's really rallied around us in the good times and the challenging, to help me raise our kiddos, to offer support and prayer for me. And so I love how you're like really expanding that, and how it kind of just got humble beginnings of the no plan plan. This was not how we saw this shaken down, but look where you all are headed now. And now you've published a book that just dropped, which is very exciting. And that book is called Summoned: Answering a Call to the Impossible. And it's a Bible study based on the life of Esther. And so it's a great way to introduce women to an important character of the Bible. But I bet a lot of folks are wondering, how exactly does the story of a Jewish woman set in ancient Persia speak to us today?
Oh, there's so many ways, but to tell the story of kind of how we landed on the book of Esther, to write through The big thing to know is that I am a fan of expository teaching and preaching. And basically what that means is that I love going line by line, word for word, chapter by chapter through books of the Bible. I think that that is how we should study God's word. I think culturally we have this really kind of bad habit of singling out one-liners of scripture and sort of elevating those things to systematic pillars of belief. And that what I found is that when we build houses, quote unquote, our faith houses that way, a little bit of wind will knock them over.
Yep.
And what I have found is that if we build a sturdy faith based on the solid rock of Christ through the proper interpretation of God's Holy Spirit inspired word, we do a lot better. So this book, disclaimer, y'all, is not be brave like Esther or be courageous like Esther. If you read about her in the text, she was a little bit of a punk before the Lord got involved. And so I think about all the ways that I saw women longing for the word. And I began my journey into writing very, very much attached to that first small group because of who we were and where we were in life and economic stage, socioeconomic backgrounds, experience. I couldn't go to my local Christian bookstore and buy, you know, 6 ways to be a better mom or 9 ways you could be a better wife. And those books are amazing and they have their place. However, the only thing that I could find that would bridge the gap between all of us was the word of God. And so I started creating lesson plans. And that's how we really got to Esther. I ended up enrolling at Moody Bible Institute. I finished my degree in ministry leadership with a focus in women's ministry and theology. And in one of my Old Testament theology classes, we were studying our girl Esther. I fell in love with the story because there's a narrative in our society today that God is only good when your stuff is good. God's only good when you're hashtag too blessed to be stressed, dog obsessed, right? Like there's this really nasty anti-gospel message that God is only good when his provision for your life is what you wanted. And when I was studying Esther, here's the heartbeat that I found in the book, that God's faithfulness is not found in his provision of a perfect or pleasing life. It's not in the good things that he gives us. His faithfulness is also not found in his prevention of painful things. You know, there's a really cutesy story of Esther, cartoonish with love stories and Hallmark vibes. This is not that story. The biblical book of Esther is about systemic racism and sex slavery. It's pretty dark stuff. The Bible doesn't shy away from the hard and evil topics that we deal with. And so, ultimately, here's the truth, that God's faithfulness is firmly found in his capability and the fact that he always does keep his promises. Mm. And ultimately, the Old Testament was promising us what? A Messiah, a savior, rescue. And that is what the book of Esther really is about. And so what does a Jewish woman in ancient Persia have to say to us today? Basically that God is good when things are bad.
And I think that's a message a lot of us need to hear, whether we're mill spouses or not, because the world is fallen. And unfortunately, it's not all rainbow sunshine and puppy dog tails all the time. As much as we'd like it to be, there's a lot of hard junk that we have to go through. I mean, look back, good grief, over the last year and a half. Like it has been, I'll just say it, like we've had to embrace the suck at a whole new level. And for me personally, having my faith to cling to has been pivotal in my mental health, in my ability to have community, and my ability to keep going and empower military spouses from my perspective. And I've seen that a lot with my peers and spouses of all ages, beliefs, denominations, and generations. So really appreciate you having that courage to dig into something that's kind of hard and difficult and share that with the world for a much greater purpose than, you know, selling books or having a book on the shelf or anything like that, because it's clear to see your heart and your passion with that. So, Megan, why would you say it's important for women to know how to engage with God's word well?
I think the most important reason is because if we misapply the scriptures, we run the risk of missing God. And I think so many well-intentioned believers are content with their Instagram Bible. And what I mean by that is we're content with the scriptures that fit on the square. Mm. We're totally fine with snipping and clipping scripture to make a curated sort of museum of positivity for ourselves. But we don't really know what the word of the Lord says. And when we're faced with great challenges, a pandemic, racial injustice, sex trafficking, when we experience sadness, when we experience deep loss, when we are in the throes of unending waves of grief, I can promise you that Instagram square may or may not have anything good to say to you. And I think that what we need to do as a community, specifically as a military community, is that we need to tether ourselves to truth. Those are the things that will keep us floating when the world seems completely off its axis. And I think that when we look at what we can do today versus what we should be doing, we're missing the mark as a community when we're talking about deeply diving into God's word. I think that we like to get our Bibles and we'll highlight one line and we'll get our really cute coffee mug and maybe steal some flowers off our kitchen counter and sort of curate this cute social media believable segment about what our faith really looks like. But we're satisfied with that. And I think that as a community, especially the way our community lives in constant turmoil with conflict always on the horizon, we should be tethered to something so much stronger. And my heart is to equip women to know how to deep dive into the Bible through the ability to interpret well, asking good questions. What is this book about? Who was this book written to? I mean, I think to say it simply, while the Bible was absolutely written for us, it is for us, it is a gift. It was not written to us. This book is thousands of years old, and we have to do the job of understanding what God was trying to say to his people and bridge the gap for ourselves.
So what I'm hearing is really this whole world, or at least how we present ourselves or where we go to for, and I say we, I'm saying a collective we, generally speaking, maybe a little generalization stereotyping here, but it's very filtered, what you said, you know, curating that cutesy picture and, you know, making sure we look nice. Like, I mean, I've had conversations with some good friends of mine about Instagram filters, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. They're hilarious. There's the dog ears. There's the awesome eyelashes, you know, there's the sparkles, and it's just really fun. But we're also seeing a lot of, like, we lose a lot of authenticity. And what you just mentioned, Megan, we lose a lot of that truth. Like, what is capital T truth in our world? And I feel like it's more difficult than ever to decipher that and finding something. And in this case, the word of God to ground us in that and to dig in, like, what does this really mean for me now? How does it apply? What does the context look like? Because it is so much of a bigger picture, way more than, you know, Psalm 130, whatever, just taken out of context. So again, thank you so much for that insight and your focus on this, because goodness, I bet you drink a lot of coffee, or maybe it's just Jesus caffeine that's got you going. Yeah. There's your cup right now. So
guys, for those of you who can't see me, I've got a cup of coffee the size of my head.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I've switched to water just because eventually I'll have to go to bed sometime. So not quite yet, but here in a few hours. So Megan, thank you so much for sharing these lessons you've learned and why it's so important. It's absolutely true. Life, it can be very difficult, that those waves of grief, even and especially in military life. So it helps immensely to have a faith to help get us through. And it's wonderful that you're reaching out to military spouses with such an important message. So listeners, if you'd like to keep up with Megan, get connected with her on her website, MeganBBrown.com. So that's Megan, B as in Bravo, Brown.com. Or you can find her online, Facebook or Instagram at Meg, M-E-G, Brown Writes. And we also have an exciting giveaway alert for you. 5 lucky listeners will win a copy of Summoned, Answering the Call to the Impossible. So for a chance to win, just like and share this post or send it to your stories on social media, and we will choose 5 random winners 1 week after this broadcast airs. Stay tuned for the rest of our interview after this commercial break. We'll be right back.
Engage, educate, encourage, empower. Advertise. AWN has many opportunities for promotion of your brand, service, or product, including web creatives, blog posts, social media promotion, giveaways, and podcast audio commercials. Email empower@armywifenetwork.com to get started. We sincerely thank you for your support to empower military spouses, families, and their service members around the globe.
Welcome back, listeners. We're continuing our conversation with Megan Brown about her new book, Summoned, Answering a Call of the Impossible. Let's talk a little bit more about the study portion of this, Megan. What do you hope will happen for women who complete this Bible study?
You know, my greatest prayer when I was writing this study was to empower women to go anywhere in the Bible and feel like they could read and understand what's going on. One of the greatest gifts that was given to me, one of the first Bible studies I had ever completed was by a woman named Erica Wiggenhorn. And it was a self-published study called Ezekiel, Every Life Position for Purpose. And when I say it kicked my tail, it kicked my tail. Every day worth of work took about 40 minutes. And I thought I was like getting a doctoral level view of Ezekiel. It was insane. It was crazy. But one thing it did do is give me a hunger and kind of an insatiable desire to read more. I wanted to know more about the Lord. I wanted to know more about who he is and what he's like and what he wants and what my life should look like in response to the finished work of the cross. And so when I wrote this study, ultimately my heart's cry is for women to be empowered to go anywhere in the Word and not just Esther, and feel like they could understand what's going on and what's happening based on the skills they learned in this very short 8-week study.
We talked about this at the very beginning of our conversation, kind of with that gap with the local church and military communities. So what do you think the local church can do to come alongside active duty military members and their families to offer support, encouragement, and guidance?
I think the biggest thing is that we need to realize that there is a gap. And I think we need to recast the vision of what it looks like to be missional and evangelical in our geographic locations. And what I mean by that is if you are a local church, if you're a pastor and you are within a 10 to 20 minute driving range of a military installation, you need to contextualize the ministries that your church offers in order to include and encourage military community members to be immersed in the life of a local church. Anytime I've met with pastors in the past 7-8 years, they are really good at contextualizing their ministries. For instance, if they were in an urban setting, they would have some amazing soup kitchens, homeless missions. If they were in college towns, they had college and career age missions. But many churches that are literally a stone's throw away from a military community have nothing. And my question is why? Is it that they believe that because we have chaplains that we have our spiritual needs met? Let me just refute that one for you really quickly. If you can imagine a city with one church and three chaplains, and not necessarily all of them are Christian chaplains, you have to understand that we do not have resources. We don't have programs. The religious or spiritual pillar, spiritual fitness pillar in our resiliency pillars in the Air Force is completely unmet. And we have a problem. I think that local churches sometimes think that we have what we need and that it's somebody else's job. But we as Christians know that the plan has always been the local church. The gospel should go forward and through the local church. So if you're a pastor and you're listening, hey, my name is Megan, hit me up. We can talk about it. I'd love to find a way for you to invite military members into your congregations, because I think that the local church misses our missional capability. And what I mean by that is that military families are uniquely and perfectly positioned to live as gospel carriers and missionaries for Christ Jesus. We move every 2 to 4 years. We are in every lower 48 state. We're in Alaska. We are in oceans. We are on islands. We are in the Middle East. If you want the gospel to travel, we got boys wherever you want it to go. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, I say boys, that's a generic term for me, but I it's a thing, right? We're everywhere. And I think if the church could really grasp our missional capacity. Mm-hmm. They could really see the gospel reignite, and we could see the third great awakening out of this community.
I appreciate that you mentioned kind of the lack of spiritual needs, the religious spiritual needs being met. I feel like I'm like, did she read my dissertation already? Because this is exactly what I'm talking about in my dissertation. And some of these same statistics.
Please let me read your dissertation.
Yes, soon it will be done. God willing, literally. But as you're mentioning this, you know, I totally agree with you in that, because we do have chaplains and I'm very thankful for them. But I think the key is they are so overtaxed. You know, my husband and I have had this conversation multiple times because we always connect with a church off post when we get there for no other reason than A, we can like share about our experience and our journey. And there's probably going to be other military service members and families in there that need, you know, to come under a wing and or me to go under someone else's wing, depending on the season. But you know, my husband, he's been in 18 years. And so he's no new kid on the block. And he always mentions like the chaplains, there's so many good ones, but they are just overtaxed, and their main calling in the military, especially in the Army, I would say, or, you know, and the Air Force, is crisis response. Is, you know, it's those moments where things are literally falling apart and they come in to help, which is great and much needed. But that does leave a significant gap for those of us who are maybe doing okay-ish or want to grow in our faith, or we don't know what's coming next. And, you know, so there is that prominent gap with this religious spiritual services provided by the military throughout all branches, because you're Air Force, I'm Army. So it's across both of ours. And I know just what the research all of us have done, it's all through all the branches. And so, yeah. Where can that gap be most quickly and easily filled? It is rising up of our local churches and congregations, because that has made such a difference for our family. With our last deployment, we moved here to Fort Bliss and my husband deployed in just a couple months. And we were very intentional about, we have got to find a community of faith because I need people and I need them yesterday. He's getting ready to go. And so it always makes me laugh how we like strolled up to this random church. I mean, it wasn't random. It's totally like a God thing. But they were like, hey, how long have you been in town? I looked at my watch and I was like, 5 days. I need to like, we need.
Hey, so my name's Sharita. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? What's
right.
up?
Right. Yeah. How you doing? Like, can I come to your house tonight? I need you in my life. You don't seem too weird, or we're at the same level of weirdness. This should work out beautifully. And we've been there ever since. And they've gotten us through deployments and gotten us through, again, the best of times and the worst of times. So I'm on a tangent. I'm also preaching. I'm very excited about this. But so back to your thoughts, what are some of the practical applications for women regarding their own faith development as military spouses?
I think the big thing to remember is that we have got to be I'm going to use your word. I love it. We have to be intentional. You have to marry your actions and intention. And I think when God is calling you deeper, which he always is, right? I don't remember where I heard this beautiful illustration. I wish I did so I could cite it. But I was listening and they were talking about getting a text message from Jesus every morning. You get a text message, hey, do you have time for meat for coffee? There's so much I want to tell you. Mm. And I think that when we think about, right, like if that really happened, if Jesus really like messaged me for coffee, you know, you would have like your best little hat on and mm-hmm. you would have your Bible and you would like Instagram that stuff, hashtag holy grounds. You'd be like, oh my gosh, so great.
Holy grounds. Oh my gosh. I love that. Sorry.
Right? You'd be like, oh yay, we're going to, but don't we get that opportunity every single day mm-hmm. to sit at the feet of Jesus and really learn about who he is and what he's like and what he's done and what that means. And I think a practical piece of advice is to take an honest inventory of where you're at. Are you not going to church because you're just too tired? It's okay to say that out loud. It's okay to say, I have not gone because I just cannot drag myself from my bed to church. Or is it, I am socially anxious and big groups of people make me freak out. Take an honest account of what it is and take some small steps. Mm. If the answer is, I just cannot make myself go to church, try and make a friend who does go. And I promise you that relationship will eventually help you get there. Ask the Lord for help. Ask friends for help. If it's, I'll say it this way. I'm not one of those people that will prescribe spiritual disciplines mm-hmm. for tangible and physical pain, right? Sometimes you'll get those kind of cookie cutter answers of
those platitudes.
Just go read your Bible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or just let go and let God, you know.
You should pray harder. You're not praying hard enough.
Yeah. Just put something on it. Like, here's the thing. Take an honest accounting. And this is what's so beautiful about the gospel, right? The gospel tells us that God's grace is sufficient. This isn't a performance-based thing. It's not a checklist. It's not something you have to earn. If you have professed your faith in Christ, the eternal King, right? You have this grace in your life. It also means that you can obey out of love and not of obligation. And so I think that when we look at where we're at, we just need to take an honest accounting and ask God to make up the difference. And then we just can push forward and love, hoping to create the faith walk that we want with our community, with a local church. You have those desires in your heart. God put them there. I think it's about our willingness to walk in obedience and do the hard things. Mm-hmm. Do the hard things by carving out time in scripture. Do the hard things by discipling your spouse and your children. Do the hard thing by dragging yourself on a Sunday for the worship of the glory of the Lord, you know?
I think it's also important to think about how, because those are all really great points. And I think it even applies to those maybe who are listening, who maybe have been hurt by the church or religious mm-hmm. spiritual leaders or experiences or upbringings, or those who are like, that's not my jam. And that is okay. You know, because we all start somewhere, and I did not grow up in a faith household. Like, I have good parents and I love them very much, but we didn't go to church. And I remember that being one of the most intimidating components of my growing upness, was I didn't want to get it wrong. I felt like this urge, I felt like this calling, this like nudge of like, there's something more that's beyond me and my performances and all the accolades in college and blah, 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 blah. But I confess, like, I was very scared, and it happened the way kind of like you're describing, Megan, just tiny baby steps of just like, I'm just going to go and sneak out and sneak back, you know, sneak in, sneak out and see what happens. And, you know, just tiny pieces of courage, whether that's asking a friend some questions, you know, emailing you, emailing me, like connecting on our social media, you know, and just being like, I have questions about this, and knowing that they're not wrong. It's not too late. They're not going to be judged. And that it's a process. Good grief. We're all work in progress. And there's plenty of room on the Hot Mess Express for everybody listening.
So, can I just say, I am so glad you shared that story. How do I say this? I'll say it this way. You guys can't see me, but I have neon pink hair, full sleeve tattoos. I'm a little bit I don't know. I was a scene kid, right? Like I love, it's such a thing. But I'll say it this way, you know, when my husband and I got married, I was not a believer. I was a militant atheist. And my beloved husband, God love him, we've been married for a little over 15 years. We've got 4 children, 2 dogs, a partridge and a pear tree. And he had this little white Oxford on with this little belt buckle. I mean, he was a typical, very nice Midwestern boy. I had a nose ring. I was wild, am wild, right? And so a little bit after we had gotten married, it had been like about 6 months. And he said, hey, babe, let's go to church this morning. I was still a mess from the night before. I smelled like Marlboro menthol lights. My hair was like a rat's nest, like this. I have big lion mane hair, guys. And so he's like, let's go to church. And I'm like, that's not happening, brother. You can tote me to Chili's after you go to church, but I'm not going to church. And he just sweetly said, you know, I really am going to be disappointed if you don't try. Like, I really wish you would try. And I thought, oh man, he's using the I'm going to be disappointed card. Okay, fine. So I roll my hair into this awful side bun. I throw on a band t-shirt that I got from seeing Bright Eyes in the Faint in New Orleans, flip-flops, and literally like my Marlboro menthol lights were rolled up into my sleeve. Like
that is amazing.
And he took me to the Southern Baptist
Church. Woo!
he didn't tell me there were rules. You don't show up like that. I'm sure the deacons thought I needed some sort of like financial assistance. They're like, oh my gosh.
Or exorcism. One of the two.
Who's this lady? Needless to say, I stuck out. And so we sit down in the pews and, you know, I brought that like Bible they give you at graduation. Mm-hmm. It's all the plastic wrap on it. I was using it as a doorstop in our apartment. Right. And so like, I get in there and this big, large man with this wicked comb over in a 3-piece suit starts waddling his way to the pulpit. And he had this little rag and he's like daubing himself on the head. I'm like, what is about to happen in here? Like, who is this? What is this? And so he starts getting really excited and he's like, all right, beloved, I want everyone to go to the book of Ephesians. And I'm like, what's that? What's an Ephesia? Is there a page number, homie? Like, what's happening here? So I'm like peeking over the pew to see like what page number they're on.
Try to cheat. Be like, where's it at?
Where's it at? And this guy just starts unpacking the first chapter of Ephesians. Through Christ, you've been predestined to sonship, adoption, chosen, wanted. And he's unpacking the gospel like I had never heard before. The book of Ephesians is killer, guys. And so I just remember being wrecked by the gospel, totally wrecked. And we're in the car on the way to Chili's after a church. And I am like sobbing over this Bible. I'm like, is this the real deal? Like, is this the thing? And he's like, let me buy you some fajitas and I'll tell you all about it. And so that was how I was introduced to the church. It was jarring because I didn't fit in. I didn't look the way they look. I still don't. But there was a long season where I tried. And so if you have church hurt or even church phobia, all I really want to say is that one thing I've learned over the last 15 years is there's no perfect church. No one's going to get it right. There is a risk of pain, but I promise you that the dividends are well worth it. And I remember this well-meaning lady printed off Proverbs 31 and like handed it to me. And she was like, okay, you can't wear this. You can't say that anymore. You can't do any of these things anymore. It should look like this. And for years I tried. But one of the most freeing things that ever happened to me in the church was when I really fundamentally understood the freedom in the gospel, that hell is going to be filled with people who never swore, who never drank, who never did this or that, or this or that, or this or that, because that's not what makes you a Christian. And my urging and my encouragement for those of you who feel a little bit on the outskirts, like misfits, there's plenty of us in here. Jump on in. We're all weird.
We've all had our weird hair. I love your hair. That's why I've always been like, I watch you from a distance. And I was like, I just love her hair. I love your attitude and I love your approach to this. And side note, you've probably already got ideas for your next book, but I'm just thinking a title, if you ever write a memoir, should be Fajitas, Menthol Lights, and Jesus Christ. I'm just saying, throw that out there. Wanted to verbalize that, write that down.
I think I gotta save that somewhere because that's a whole mood.
that's right. You don't even have to credit me for it. I'll just request a signed copy.
Mood. I promise to write your dedication on the inner cover.
From that one podcast interview,
sharing
part of our experiences. Well, Megan, I've obviously and thoroughly enjoyed our conversation talking about red hair and or pink hair and tats and just Jesus and all the good stuff. That's so much fun. So before we cut out of here, can you remind our listeners where they can go to find even more empowering information about your books and resources?
Absolutely. So my book, Summoned, Answering a Call to the Impossible, is available for purchase where all books are sold. It's published by Moody Publishers. It released in May. It's on the Moody Publishers website, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Target. It's all over the place. And I have loved just the experience and the gift of being able to write it. But I'm on Instagram at Meg Brown Writes, my website, MeganBBrown.com. Stay tuned, folks. In the new year, I'm launching a TikTok. I'm old. I don't know anything about the TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
I'm launching a TikTok.
I don't have a TikTok either. I'm just now getting the hang of Instagram Reels. So right there with you.
I'm learning all about the Instagram Reels. But really, you can find me at Back Bay Church. Back Bay Church is my local church. We do have our services streamed online at backbaychurch.com and on our Facebook page at Back Bay Church. So that those are the best places to find me.
Thanks for reminding us of that. And again, congratulations on your book launch and book release. I've loved watching you on social media and seeing where you find it in the wild and having some of those signed copies out there. Just what an adventure. So congratulations on that. And our last question is one of my faves that we always ask all of our guests here at AWN, because we are all about empowerment. And you've mentioned that a few times in our conversation today. So tell us, Megan B. Brown, how would you complete the sentence? Empowerment is?
Wisdom. Empowerment is wisdom.
And mic drop. Writing that in the blank so I don't forget it. Empowerment is wisdom, folks. Oh, so good. Such a fun conversation and very, there you go, empowering, because you're a woman of wisdom, Megan, and I'm thankful that you're sharing it with the world and the military community. So thank you for coming on the show, chatting about your faith and the important message that you're spreading. I truly believe that faith does have an impact on how military spouses handle stress and take care of their mental health. Again, that's my dissertation jam. I've been working on it a year and a half and hope that, you know, it gets done soon so that we can be sharing that message on our end too. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now let's go ahead and go back over to our hosts in our metaphorical studio at AWN HQ as they share their thoughts about today's interview with guest, mill spouse and author, Megan B. Brown.
Wow, what another great interview. Thank you, Megan Brown, for sharing such empowering resources with us this week. Again, if you'd like to connect with Megan, you can find her on her website, meganbbrown.com. That's www.meganbbrown.com.
I loved listening to Sharita's interview with Megan. She brought such fun energy to the show, and I listened to it.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, I listened to it, you know, first thing in the morning while sitting through Carline, which I know we all love, but it was just such a positive vibe to start off my day. She was super fun to listen to.
She was super peppy. I just love that about her. And I think that that kind of carries through, I'm sure, through her book. I haven't read it yet, but I'm sure that it carries through that aspect as well. The topic was a little new to me, but I definitely loved how she discussed how she was like gathering people together, creating this community of people that, you know, we're all able to support one another and really be there for each other in times when they kind of felt lost. They didn't have anybody around. I loved that about her. And yeah. I do want to mention before we move any further, just because I forgot, we don't want to forget that there is a book giveaway. So make sure that you go on to our social media and share this post and you can be entered for that book giveaway.
Yes, I might. Can we enter? Because I also haven't read the book yet.
I know.
It sounds really interesting. So for me, on a personal note, like I'm not a very religious person. I'm kind of more of a spiritual, like agnostic type. It was kind of a new perspective for me. Like I haven't even considered that, you know, the chaplains and the churches on base might be, you know, lacking in their services and what they offer.
That's definitely a different perspective than I've heard before as well. So, I mean, I've worked with chaplains in the SFRG like function of military, and they've been super helpful in that atmosphere. So I think it was interesting to see it from this side.
Yeah, I found it, you know, really eye-opening, and I had never even considered that, you know, there were only a couple of chaplains for so many spouses, and that needing to reach out into the community to a different ministry is actually a good idea, because they're able to sort of spend more time with them. But she said, you know, to reach those ministries, I liked how she talked about how that military families, you know, were kind of uniquely equipped to sort of spread the word of God because of our nomadic lifestyles. We're kind of like these unintentional missionaries, sort of.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of a good way to sort of encourage the local churches to really cater more towards the military community.
Yeah, that's so true. I didn't even think about that either until you kind of put that out there. I mean, it's kind of obvious when you go from place to place that there's going to be those church bases, but having those people going from one place to another and being able to spread more, that's actually a really good point.
Yeah. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I did. Also, and we were talking about this before, but you mentioned the social media aspect.
Yes.
Yeah. You want to talk about that? I was gonna say, I'll let you.
The social media, the whole rose colored, filters that she talked about, the perfectly curated, posts and Instagram yes. accounts and how, that's not always truthful. It's not, it can be damaging sometimes to people when, it's just so, perfectly curated, that it doesn't really show the truth. And then it's going to be kind of hard to lean on that. If you don't really dig into, the religion and your scripture and the hard times and show how your life really can be.
Right. And I do like how she mentioned that, like her book about Esther, because a lot of people apparently perceive it as this, like, if I am doing well, then, God has got my back. But if I am not, then he doesn't. And so I love that she says, that's not the case. Like, even the name of it says, answering the call to the impossible. Like, obviously, when things are not going well, you're thinking you're not going to be supported. But she basically said, like, that's kind of what her book's about. You're going through the hard times and you still got God.
Exactly.
So, well, folks, we are now nearing the end of this episode. We want to remind you that every Thursday at noon, we host a special Mill Spouse Empowerment Moment live on Facebook. These live videos discuss many hot topics for military spouses, and I always walk away with new knowledge. No worries if you can't catch us live, because they'll be converted into a podcast, and you can find it on your favorite podcast app. If you haven't subscribed to our podcast, make sure that you do, because you won't want to miss our next full-length episode when Sherita, our owner and commander, interviews Reverend Owen Chandler as they discuss his book, Bridge in Babylon, Stories of a Military Chaplain in Iraq. I, for one, can't wait to hear his captivating stories.
Also, another very important note, we are always looking for new resources to help empower our military families. If you or someone you know has a product or service to share with our listeners and would like to join us, let's chat. Please email empower@armywifenetwork.com.
Finally, if you want to connect with Army Wife Network beyond the podcast, subscribe to our semi-monthly newsletter, The SITREP. That's Situation Report for anyone new to our Mill Spouse neighborhood. We showcase our top blog posts, upcoming Army Wife Talk Radio information, exclusive printables and giveaways, sponsor information, and more. Go to www.armywifenetwork.com and enter your email in the right sidebar under the SITREP.
Listeners, it's a true honor to be part of your Mill Spouse Squad. We're here to cover down for you no matter what military life might throw your way. We thank you for your continued support and interaction. Engage, educate, encourage. Army Wife Talk Radio is your source for military life empowerment. This is your Army Wife Network Command Team signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to www.armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our empowering resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.